Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Basil Free, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, the encampment on Deering Meadow, music directing at Northwestern, and emotional support water bottles. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. Amidst a movement that is taking college campuses across the nation by storm, student protesters have established their own Gaza Solidarity encampment on Northwestern's Deering Meadow. Izzy Pareja has the story.
Those were chants from just beyond the fence of Deering Meadow, the site of Northwestern's Gaza Solidarity encampment. Students began setting up the tents early Thursday morning, joining the ranks of hundreds of other protesters gathered on college campuses across the country. According to the initial announcement posted to the Northwestern Divestment Coalition's official Instagram, their, quote, encampment will continue until Northwestern meets the people's resolution, unquote, which outlines, quote, demands calling for student protection, the termination of partnerships with Israel, and divestment from apartheid, unquote.
We all are going to continue staying out here until our university commits to divesting, to disclosing, to supporting students, until Palestine is free.
Since Thursday, Deering Meadow has echoed with ceaseless chants, songs, and prayers for Palestinian liberation and university divestment, underscored by an unrelenting drumbeat and cars honking in support. Speaker events and workshops led by student organizations and individuals have taken place at the encampment, providing ample opportunity for professors, students, activists, and other supporters of the cause to get involved and share their voice in solidarity with Palestine.
I can hear my siblings crying in the sea. Now I'm in the struggle and I can't unsee. The violence of the Israeli war machine. We ain't gonna stop till Palestine's free.
Again.
We ain't gonna stop till Palestine's free.
Next verse.
I can hear the people chanting ceasefire now. And the occupation gonna say it loud. The U.S. is funding all these atrocities. We ain't gonna stop till Palestine's free.
Again.
We ain't gonna stop till Palestine's free.
That's the sound of the crowd at Friday night's open mic, organized by POC-centered student poetry collective Eye to Eye, where protesters were encouraged to share their own or other people's poetry and music with the crowd. Sunday afternoon, people sat on blankets across the lawn and were led through a resistance poetry workshop, in which they were offered a chance to write and once again share their own poetry or the work of others.
You must live to tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings, make it white with a long tail so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze and bid no one farewell, not even to his flesh, not even to himself, sees a kite, my kite you made, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope. Let it be a tale. That's for Rifat and his family looking down on us now, and all the martyrs in Gaza right now.
As of today, April 29th, Northwestern's encampment has survived over four full days, but not without facing certain challenges and criticism. The encampment's first days were burdened by counteractive measures implemented by the university administration, as well as encounters with NUPD. Northwestern Hillel released a statement in response to the encampment's appearance on Thursday, condemning it for, quote, reflecting a disturbing and quickly escalating trend of anti-Semitic rhetoric and actions both nationally and on our own campus, unquote. Counter-protesters have also appeared individually or in groups of various sizes since the encampment's emergence. The largest group organized on Deering Meadow around 11 a.m. on Sunday, with many individuals wearing or waving the flag of Israel as they tried to enter the encampment. NUPD officers stood between the two groups as they shouted competing chants. Despite these occurrences, those at the encampment remained steadfast in occupying Deering Meadow. On Saturday, April 27th, the NU Divestment Coalition, NU Educators for Justice in Palestine, NU Students for Justice in Palestine, and Jewish Voice for Peace at Northwestern announced on their Instagrams that they were, quote, continuing productive conversations with Northwestern administration, unquote, and are, quote, committed to staying on Deering Meadow for as long as it takes for Northwestern to become serious about divesting from death, unquote. For WNUR News, this is Izzy Perea.
Music directing is a male-dominated field, and Jordan Klein wants to change that. Ella Barnes talked to her to find out more about her work as a music director at Northwestern.
When you picture a music director in your head, who do you think of? Maybe you think of Leonard Bernstein or John Williams. Musical theater fans might think of Jonathan Larson or Stephen Sondheim. When you look up famous music directors on Google, those are some of the names that come up. Others might be Joe Ashashi, Hans Zimmer, and Simon Rattle, to name a few. The common denominator between all of them? They're all men. Communications freshman Jordan Klein wants to change that. A self-proclaimed theater kid, Klein has been playing piano since she was 5 years old and began taking music directing seriously after a music director, Anna Ebison, noticed her talent at a summer program.
Right from, like, the get-go of our relationship and, like, the advice that she would give me, it was very clear of, like, being a woman in this field is not easy. We are the minority. It's a male-dominated field. Musical theater, music, composition, arranging, orchestrating, music directing is all male-dominated.
Though Klein has been at Northwestern for under a year, she has already been able to work on 6 shows.
It's important to me here at Northwestern to be a presence and say, like, here we are. There are lots of us. It's not just me. It's not just one other person. And truthfully, we're not encouraged at a young enough age to pursue this.
Klein's current project is music directing the musical Rent by Jonathan Larson, which is going up the weekend of week 9 in Shanley Pavilion.
Some songs that Jordan has, like, named every single track, yeah, if you listen to it.
And she's co-music directing with communications junior Sophie Morvillo. Klein says they instantly felt connected as a team.
It is quite special to be like, this is the music team and we're two women and we're good at what we do. And also, like, truthfully, we're both queer women, and that's really exciting, especially for this story. So I think to have not only two women but two queer identifying women is really exciting and not something that you get to see that often.
In the summer of 2021, the Musicians Union of NYC surveyed its membership and learned that only 29% of its total membership is female. 3 out of 4 Broadway orchestras are entirely male. Only 8% of new Broadway scores in the last 10 years were composed by women, and only 4% of the orchestrator jobs on Broadway were held by women. Through her work at Northwestern and beyond, Klein says she hopes to make music directing more accessible to women everywhere.
3, 2, 3, 4. I hope we reach a point in time where it's a field that doesn't matter. I think in, like, the composition part of music, theater specifically, like, we can reach that point. It just takes a certain amount of encouragement and advocacy.
For WNUR News, I'm Ella Barnes.
If you find that you cannot go anywhere without your reusable water, psychologists say that you may have an emotional attachment to it. Mariah Petway has the story.
You're talking with a friend, and the conversation is coming to a low. Your reusable water bottle is on the table next to you, so without hesitation, you take a sip, even though you're not that thirsty. Or you raise your hand to speak in class, and after you share, you grab your water bottle, even though your mouth is not that dry. Maybe our reusable water bottles are more of an emotional support item than we like to admit. That was the opening of an Owala water bottle. Third-year Medill and Weinberg student Wendy Zhu says that it is her favorite reusable water bottle out of the several that she's had since seventh grade.
And this was back when, like, the Swell water bottles were trendy. They were kind of I don't know how to describe the shape, but I don't know. It was like they had a bunch of different cool colors, and I remember I think they were on sale, but I got like one of those duo chrome like color shift ones, and I thought it was really cool. And it was like, I remember it was like green and some lighting, but also kind of like red, like yellow, orange, and other lighting. And then my friend got like a blue, green, purple one. So that was the first one that I can remember.
Zhu says that each water bottle she has owned reminds her of a different period in her life.
Like when I think about my lilac water bottle, I'm like, oh, like, you know, high school, whatever. I think about my Swell bottle, I'm like, oh, like middle school me, you know, those were the times and whatnot. So, I would say that is my relationship with my water bottles.
While some would admit to a relationship with their water bottles, others, like second-year Weinberg student Miracle Ramos, would say that her water bottle is nothing more than an object.
I feel like when I do have a water bottle, like, I'm getting a new one every couple months, like, or every 6 months, so I'm not really getting, like, attached to it. I just kind of get interested in a new bottle from time to time.
Second-year Weinberg student Adelina Gembardet would also say she has no connection to her water bottle. Could it be that she has one and does not even know it?
And if I feel anxious, or if, like, people are talking and I don't know, like, how to contribute, I'll just go for my water bottle, yeah.
So what is it? Are we all using reusable water bottles for emotional support and we don't even know it? To get to the bottom of this bottle, I spoke with practicing licensed therapist Kadeen Whitehead to find out what an emotional support item even is and if a reusable water bottle could even be considered an emotional support item.
An emotional support item can be a variety of things. Most commonly, children like to use stuffed animals as emotional support. It can just be any item that helps you to reduce stress. Like, I've even taught children how to use Play-Doh to reduce stress. I've also taught kids how to use slime to reduce stress. And like I said, stuffed animals too. It can be anything that helps reduce stress or just provides comfort.
When I think emotional support item, I think of what Whitehead just said, a soft, comforting teddy bear, or a fuzzy blanket. But can a water bottle really be an emotional support item?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, it can be a variety of things, and I think it's about what it does for the person. And if it's something that can help somebody to reduce stress, yeah, it can definitely be a water bottle.
So now that I know I have a problem, what causes emotional attachment to something like a water bottle in the first place?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes people use items as emotional support without even realizing it. Like sometimes people overcoming grief, they might hold on to something from a loved one and not even realizing that, you know, it is an emotional support item.
Whether you reach for your water bottle or not, Whitehead reminds us that it is important to implement healthy stress-reducing strategies into our daily lives.
I do think while emotional support items are very helpful, I think the best thing for people to do is to try to incorporate something into their life to help them reduce stress. Often, most times nowadays, I feel like many adults tend to lean on maladaptive strategies to reduce stress, like substances. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had clients tell me that they vape or smoke marijuana to reduce stress. I highly recommend getting in a healthy routine, whether it's going to the gym, do yoga class, or having some community. If you're spiritual, if you're religious, you know, joining a church or joining a book club and like having a healthy sense of community.
Music by Mariah Petway. For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Petway.
After a whirlwind week in the movie and sports world, the B-List is back to help you make sense of it all. Allison Rauch has more.
Your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, new movies, new memoirs, and new sports drama. In movies, director Luca Guadagnino's Challengers hit theaters last Friday after being delayed by the 2023 WGA and SAG-AFTRA strikes. The film stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist, with a unique score composed by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. The film was a smash hit at box offices, although audience reviews are more mixed. News broke today that Blue Ivy Carter will join Mother Beyoncé in Mufasa, The Lion King. Directed by Barry Jenkins, the photorealistic animated film will be a prequel to Disney's 1994 hit, The Lion King. Jenkins' upcoming film will bring back cast members from director Jon Favreau's 2019 remake of the original, including Beyoncé, Donald Glover, and Seth Rogen. In celebrity, Gypsy Rose Blanchard has announced that she is releasing a memoir, My Time to Stand, in January 2025. Blanchard has said she wants to address commonly asked questions and put forth her perspective on her experiences. Blanchard was released from prison in January after serving 7 years for a second-degree murder charge over having her boyfriend kill her mother. In sports, the 2024 NFL Draft wrapped up this weekend in Detroit. This year's draft saw the most quarterbacks taken in the first round since 1983. USC quarterback Caleb Williams was picked number one overall for the Chicago Bears. Other notable and some controversial picks include Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. going number 8 overall to the Atlanta Falcons, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels going number 2 overall to the Washington Commanders, and UNC quarterback Drake May going number 3 overall to the New England Patriots. In basketball, the Phoenix Suns fell to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night in a 4-game sweep. They've been the first team to crack. So far, the Denver Nuggets lead the Los Angeles Lakers 3-1, the Boston Celtics lead the Miami Heat 2-1, the Oklahoma City Thunder lead the New Orleans Pelicans 3-0, the New York Knicks lead the Philadelphia 76ers 3-1, the Indiana Pacers lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-1, the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers are tied 2-2, and the Dallas Mavericks and Los Angeles Clippers are also tied 2-2. Games continue today right after our show with a Celtics-Heat matchup at 6:30 p.m. CST, Thunder-Pelicans game at 7:30 p.m. CST, and a Nuggets-Lakers showdown at 9 p.m. CST. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow's high is looking to be a nice 71 degrees with a low of 50. After getting a few glimpses of spring these past weeks, it's looking like the warmth is finally here to stay. Highs will continue to be comfortably in the 70s up until Saturday, with Thursday looking to be the best contender for a day spent on North Beach. Your Friday plans might be looking a little wet, though, with a 55% chance of rain, but besides that, sunshine will be abundant throughout the week. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Administrators and student demonstrators have reached an agreement to end the encampment established on Deering Meadow Thursday. As negotiations finished, the university agreed to permit protests and gatherings in support of Palestine at the Meadow through June 1st, the final day of spring quarter classes. The permit will require that only NU students, faculty, and staff be allowed in the demonstration area, unless otherwise authorized by the university, and may require a wildcard ID. For new arrivals and others in need, a functioning bicycle serves as much more than a mode of transportation. Evanston resident Mike Moyer has spent the past 9 months fixing donated bikes and distributing them to community members and has seen what a profound impact those two wheels can have. More than 6 months into implementation of the law that eliminated cash bail and reformed the state's pretrial justice systems, counties have settled into new patterns, with longer detention hearings and money no longer a factor in whether someone will be released from jail. A 52-year-old woman is dead, and another was seriously injured after the two-person team fell 1,000 feet while ascending a mountain in Alaska's Denali National Park on Thursday. Robbie Mikas, of Keene Valley, New York, died of injuries sustained in the fall, according to park officials. Her climbing partner, a 30-year-old woman from California, was rescued by the National Park Service mountaineering rangers on Friday morning and airlifted to an Anchorage hospital with serious injuries, the park said in a news release. World Central Kitchen said it would resume operations in the Gaza Strip on Monday, a month after seven workers of the U.S.-based charity were killed in an Israeli airstrike. Prior to halting operations, WCK had distributed more than 43 million meals in Gaza since October, representing by its own accounts 62% of all international NGO aid. The charity said it had 276 trucks with the equivalent of almost 8 million meals ready to enter through the Rafah crossing and will also send trucks into Gaza from Jordan. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. And other WNUR news stories on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is John Ferrara, and our reporters are Izzy Pareja, Ella Barnes, Mariah Petway, and Allison Rauch. I'm Basil Free. Catch our next newscast Wednesday, May 1st. Now, back to scheduled programming.